Good morning, everyone. I'm John Huckenberry, and we are joined this morning and thrilled to have her by Lisa Jackson, who's the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, arguably the chief enforcement officer of the Obama administration's environmental policy. As we begin to see what that is, the Congress is expected to begin debate and consideration of a very complex bill on climate change. Climate change, arguably the top issue on the environmental agenda in the early days of the Obama administration. Administrator Jackson, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me.
So if we talk about climate change and this bill that is supposed to be emerging from Ed Markey and Henry Waxman's congressional offices at any moment, is the EPA in a proper legislative posture to regulate the environment to produce real changes in climate?
Yeah, well, the bill that you're referring to, the American Clean Energy and Security Act, actually establishes a market-based cap-and-trade program, and so EPA would be a big player if that program comes to be. And when that happens, certainly we'd need to gear up, but one of the things we've started to do already is put out a rule to measure greenhouse gas emissions. Obviously, you can't monitor what you don't measure, so that's our first step.
So if you measure carbon, and if carbon dioxide has been found to be a danger of human health and welfare, overturning, you know, all kinds of policy and approaches in the Bush administration, doesn't the EPA have its own regulatory power to regulate carbon because it is a health hazard?
Yeah, well, we're in the middle of a process right now. You're right. EPA has a finding out called an endangerment finding that does make the finding contrary to what was done in the last administration, that greenhouse gases endanger human public health and welfare. And that's the first step towards regulation. We don't have regulations on the street right now, but they could come about once the endangerment finding is completed.
Do you need to wait for Congress, or can you move ahead with that finding?
Yeah, that finding's independent of what's happening in Congress right now.
Well, Ms. Jackson, we had tape of Congressman Joe Barton from Texas the other day saying unequivocally and clearly, quote, cap and trade is dead, that it's his view, and he's been in Congress, what, 30 years, that cap and trade won't get out of committee and won't ultimately pass. I don't know if he's right or wrong, but if he turns out to be right, what options does EPA or the government have for addressing climate change if cap and trade isn't part of the bill?
Well, I'm happy to answer your question. I have to start by saying I certainly hope he's not right. The president has called on Congress to pass comprehensive energy legislation. That includes the cap and trade and lots of good things to jumpstart a green energy economy for our country. If he is right, then yes, EPA could be expected to move towards a regulatory posture on greenhouse gas emissions. Most of the time when people ask me where we go first, I say, listen, EPA would use common sense. The biggest emitters of greenhouse gases are in our transportation sector, the cars and trucks on the road, and then utilities, the way we generate power.
So that means you go to each of the sources of carbon individually or severally and limit their emissions that way to the utilities, to the autos, down the line, but EPA doesn't have the ability to cap and trade or anything like cap and trade on its own, correct?
Yeah, that's an open question, John. A lot of lawyers, and I'm not one, have looked at it. Most believe that it would be very difficult to establish a cap and trade program for greenhouse gases under the Clean Air Act. It would certainly be challenged in court. So at a minimum, we know we'd be looking at many years of litigation before we were able to establish it if it held up in court.
Well, that really sets up the bedeviling contradiction in this bill and as the debate goes forward in Congress and in the administration. As Todd was just saying, market-based solutions like cap and trade, while attractive and attractive to you, as you've just said, are not necessarily authorizable by the EPA and will require Congress to move forward on them. Yet we already seen in this bill there are thousands of constituencies that are going to be addressed here, and it's already been watered down. At what point does this bill cease to be useful to the EPA in trying to make significant changes, and you just walk away from Congress and go it alone?
You know, we're far from that point. I know there's lots of talk around the bill, but I think all eyes will be on the committee on its work on Monday. There's been tremendous work done already by the chairman, Henry Waxman, and Ed Markey, the subcommittee chair, and lots of good, productive discussions. You know, if we're going to get a market-based solution that sticks for energy in this country, it's going to require all those voices at the table, and then the really hard work of coming to consensus and putting forward a good bill.
Well, hard work indeed. Hard work indeed, and especially the voices on the Republican side are calling cap and trade a tax on energy throughout the economy. Lisa Jackson, Administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, thanks so much for joining us. She joined us from her office in Washington.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, thanks. Well, John, now joining us on the line is Congressman Fred Upton. He's a Republican from Michigan. He's also a senior Republican on the Energy and Commerce Committee. That's the committee that's going to be marking up, in other words, processing and amending the climate change cap and trade bill next week. Mr. Upton, how are you?
Hey, good morning. You can call me Fred.
You always say that, and I always call you Congressman.
My
Steve. Thanks, Mr. Upton. Thanks, Congressman. Hey, thanks for joining us. Mr. Barton, Joe Barton, the senior Republican on your committee, said into our microphones the other day, cap and trade is dead. Call the coroner. It's dead. Do you agree with that?
Well, it's not dead yet. I think ultimately it will be. And one of the reasons why Chairman Waxman decided to forego the subcommittee, you know, we've had, I don't know how many hearings, dozens and dozens of them since the first of the year. Over 300 witnesses, some of the hearings lasting 9 or 10 hours apiece, and all of a sudden the chairman pulled the subcommittee out of it because he realized that after all of those deliberations, he didn't have the votes, and so he moved it to full committee. So it's going to be a very close vote next week when we likely conclude things, probably Thursday or Friday. We start Monday, as Administrator Jackson indicated. It's likely to, you know, if it passes, it's only going to pass by one or two at the most.
Right.
And then it goes to the House floor, and I'll tell you, a number of Democrats, particularly what we call blue dog Democrats, but from states that have pretty good coal populations, you take a look at Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, some of those states are over 90% coal. Their utility bills are going to go up 40 to 50%. Of course, you can take some of the money collected from this tax and rebate them in some form, but the businesses still have to pay it.
Right, and your leadership has certainly been targeting those moderate Democrats and trying to fire up their constituencies so that they, you know, calling it a tax on the Midwest.
Well, that's in essence what it is. And the other thing is that the Senate last month had a vote as part of the budget debate as to whether or not cap and trade should be included as reconciliation or not. If it's part of reconciliation, it cannot be filibustered. You only need 50 votes to pass it instead of 60. And guess what? By a 2-to-1 basis in the Senate, which is in essence 60-40 now, as you know, for the Democrats, the Senate said no. It's got to come up
right
under regular order, so it's got to get 60 votes. So they clearly don't have the votes there. Which brings us back to the same parallel that we saw back in 1993 when Bill Clinton wanted a BTU tax, and that's exactly what it was. The House passed it narrowly, 219 to 213, and the Senate said, forget it. We're not taking it up.
Congressman, isn't there a problem here, though? I mean, a lot of your colleagues on the Republican side of the aisle talk about market-based solutions always being a better approach to these kinds of things. If cap-and-trade doesn't get some sort of support and continues to be called a tax on energy, and I'm not going to debate the language there, aren't you stuck with regulations that are even more expensive? Something's going to be done on carbon, and a market-based approach is probably more fair, wouldn't you agree?
Well, I'm not sure that that's right, because we think that you can actually reduce emissions, and I'm one that does believe that the planet is warming, and we need to take steps to reduce it. I think that we can. We can do it with greater efficiencies. We can require clean coal technology, something, by the way, that's just as assumed in this bill, but we actually, it's at least 10 years away. There's no nuclear title in it at all, which is a major flaw, which, of course, nuclear, as you know, has no greenhouse gas emissions. So, I mean, there's a whole number of things that we can do to reduce emissions, to building standards. Yes, there'll be even more on the autos, a whole number of different things. And at the end of the day, you'd have a bipartisan bill and something, frankly, that the Senate is pursuing without a cap and trade.
All right. Congressman Fred Upton from Michigan, from Kalamazoo, senior member of the Energy and Commerce Committee. He'll be a big part of the markup next week in the committee as climate change and cap and trade comes to the fore. Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
You bet.
All right.
Pretty good outline of the debate there. Finding consensus in Lisa Jackson's view at the EPA and Upton's view, very different.
Yep. And that debate is going to be ugly in that committee next week. Lots of tactics coming.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.